The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
And here we go. It's a Tuesday. Welcome to it. I am Nicole Sandler, coming to you live on the Progressive Voices Network, on Facebook Live, on Periscope, on Twitch, but not on YouTube. We will post the show to YouTube after the fact, but they still have me suspended for some bullshit copyright violation. And you know, it's not only me. It seems to be a thing where, not to make me a conspiracy theorist or anything, but it looks like they're targeting progressive talkers. Hal Sparks was also suspended from streaming live to YouTube for something allegedly from the Universal Music Publishing Group, except they spelled it right wrong. They called it like a broop instead of a group. And so he thinks he was like targeted. He doesn't think it was a bot, but he's talking to lawyers and everything. I don't have money to spend on lawyers, so I'm just, you know, trying to fight City Hall on my own. But he said that he's spoken to his lawyers about my case too. So not, you know, that and $5 will buy me a cup of coffee if I'm lucky. Anyway, here we are. My suspension from YouTube will be up before the election. If all else fails, allegedly, I'll get my stream back in mid-October. Lucky me. Anyway, welcome to it. Things are weird and getting weirder. So, you know, yesterday I explained to you that I had a really rough weekend. And lo and behold, I got a ton of emails from people who said, it got me this weekend too. I think it was the coming together of the insanity of everything going on and the seeming further descent into decay of the mind or psyche or whatever craziness that is Donald Trump. I think as we get closer and closer to November 3rd, he's going more and more off the rails. I didn't watch the interview with Laura Ingraham last night, and I know it's not Ingraham, but you mispronounce their names and it drives them crazy. Oh my God, he is off the rails nuts. He is batshit crazy. The thing that first got me yesterday, he did one of his ego-boosting press briefing things. His excuse for not having a rally. So he gets up and rants in front of the collected media. And, he said things like, well, like this. Uh-oh. Isn't that the right one? Hello. Why am I getting no audio from there? I hate it when this happens. Okay, do I have audio from here? Why am I getting no audio at all? Number one. Huh. My number one. All right. There's something wrong here. I got to play with my sound because, yeah, for some reason, that's not working. Channel. I bet if I do this. No, that shouldn't even make a difference. I don't know what's going on. Let's try it one more time. No. Wow. This is the first technical difficulty I've had like in a long time. So I'm going to have to play around with that. I'll tell you what, while I try to figure out what the problem is, how about we get some funny out of the way? Because, you know, as stressed as we all are, a little comedy is good for the soul. So our friend Lauren Mayer is back with a new song. If I can find it. Where is it? Ah, there it is. Okay. So, Lauren Mayer, Lauren's Comedy on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube and all that. Take it away, Lauren Mayer. Make us laugh.
Donnie's poles were in the toilet. What a sad, sad story. Needed a convention to restore his former glory. How to add some class. Policies? Now they'll pass. Just make each speech a chance to screech while kissing Donnie's tush. It's all to flatter the Führer of Trumpistan. His ego's the only platform. 'cause they need ya to own the libs and piss off the media. Ethics and norms are for other folks. Don't give laws a second glance. Just flatter the Fuhrer of Trumpistan while right-wingers go into their dance. Nutjobs who are spewing on about crazy crap like QAnon. Don't be a science-trusting smarty, join the fact-denying party. Big unmasked crowds, he requested them. Hell, they won't count as sick if you never tested them. Stoke fear and hate as loudly as you can. That's what true cultists must do. Flatter the Fuhrer of Trumpistan. But your lies will remember. That's why in November we have to turn out and vote blue.
Lauren Mayer, everyone. Yay! All right, I'm a bit freaked out because I don't know, and it's probably something really super easy. But I have no audio coming out of this channel, which is really, really weird. I don't know why it is. And that's really going to screw with me today. So, I'll tell you what. I was going to do what's news. While I try to figure this out, Laffy, don't worry. I got Laffy standing by. I'll tell you what. I was going to play what's news from there, but I don't even have audio coming at it. This is really frustrating. I don't know what the problem is. It's this input. All right. This is great radio, isn't it? All right. I'm going to have to bring up all of these things on this other pot. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. Bear with me because I'm fumfering for time while I get what's news queued up so I can play this while I try to continue troubleshooting. Gotta Laugh is coming up today, so stick around. Let me get today's what's news and try to figure out what the problem is. Best laid plans and all that. Welcome to a new month. It's September, everybody. All right, let's just do this, and I'll be right back. It's the Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
I have to start today's What's News report acknowledging that in the last 24 hours or so, the President of the United States has promoted violence on Twitter, in a televised interview on Fox so-called News, and he defended an armed 17-year-old vigilante now charged with 2 counts of murder. This is not normal. This should be the lead story of every newscast and newspaper today, but it isn't. So we'll begin there with his defense of the Kenosha killer, a 17-year-old Trump supporter accused of fatally shooting 2 people and wounding a third in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Are you going to condemn the actions of vigilantes like Kyle Rittenhouse?
We're looking at all of it. That was an interesting situation. You saw the same tape as I saw, and he was trying to get away from them, I guess, it looks like, and he fell, and then they very violently attacked him. And it was something that we're looking at right now, and it's under investigation, but I guess he was in very big trouble. He would have been. He probably would have been killed. But it's under investigation.
Do you think private citizens should be taking guns?
I'd like to see law enforcement take care of everything. I think everything should be taken care of law enforcement. But again, we have to give our cops back, our police back, their dignity, the respect. They're very talented people.
No. All right, let's deconstruct this. Trump says Rittenhouse fired while, quote, trying to get away. He probably would have been killed. Notice how Trump conveniently omits the part about the shooter having already murdered one person, which is why he was being chased in the first place. But then again, Donald Trump is known to make up his own alternative facts. Like when he explained who's controlling Joe Biden.
I'd like to mention Biden because he's not controlling anything.
Who do you think is pulling Biden's strings? Is it former Obama officials?
People that you've never heard of. People that are in the dark shadows. People that...
What does that mean? That sounds like conspiracy theory. Dark shadows.
No, people that you haven't heard of. They're people that are on the streets. They're people that are controlling the streets. We had somebody get on a plane from a certain city this weekend. And in the plane, it was almost completely loaded with thugs wearing these dark uniforms, black uniforms with gear and this and that. They're on a plane.
Where's this?
I'll tell you sometime, but it's under investigation right now.
Donald Trump accused Joe Biden of refusing to repudiate leftist protesters, as he called them, although Biden had said the day before that he condemned violence, quote, whether on the left or the right. The former vice president issued probably his most forceful pushback on the Trump drivel yet in a speech delivered Monday in Pittsburgh, calling him a toxic presence.
This president long ago forfeited any moral leadership in this country. He can't stop the violence because for years he's fomented it. You know, he may believe mouthing the words law and order makes him strong. But his failure to call on his own supporters to stop acting as an armed militia in this country shows how weak he is. Does anyone believe there'll be less violence in America if Donald Trump is reelected? We need justice in America. We need safety in America. We're facing multiple crises. Crises under Donald Trump have kept multiplying. COVID, economic devastation, unwarranted police violence, emboldened white nationalists, a reckoning on race, declining faith. There's no reason why we can't just do so much more than we're doing. The common thread, the incumbent president who makes things worse, not better. An incumbent president who sows chaos rather than providing order.
And because he can't help himself, Trump is insisting on visiting Kenosha, Wisconsin Tuesday, despite the governor and the mayor and every other local official requesting that he stay away. The other huge story that should be making much bigger headlines but is curiously absent from major coverage on Tuesday morning is really important in that it seems to be one more nail in the coffin of our system of checks and balances and the constitutionally mandated congressional oversight powers. A three-judge panel from the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals on Monday dismissed a House lawsuit seeking to force Donald Trump's former White House counsel, Don McGahn, to comply with a congressional subpoena. The panel saying that Congress has not passed a law expressly authorizing it to sue to enforce its subpoenas? What? The 2-1 ruling came 3 weeks after the full U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit affirmed that Congress did have standing to sue, meaning that it had shown that the Trump administration's refusal to allow McGahn to testify harmed the House's longstanding right to compel testimony from government officials. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi announced plans to seek immediate review by the full D.C. Circuit. In a statement, Pelosi said, quote, "If allowed to stand, this wrong-headed Court of Appeals panel ruling threatens to strike a grave blow to one of the most fundamental constitutional roles of Congress, to conduct oversight on behalf of the American people, including by issuing our lawful and legitimate subpoenas. The ruling represents a flawed judicial attack on the entire House of Representatives. In the past, both Republicans and Democrats have successfully sought to enforce House subpoenas in court." Another 2-1 ruling by a three-judge panel from the same D.C. District Court of Appeals last month was overturned on Monday by the full court after an en banc rehearing as requested by Judge Emmett Sullivan. This is in the case in which convicted former national security advisor to Trump, Michael Flynn, tried to withdraw his guilty plea. And Attorney General Bill Barr attempted to get the case dropped just ahead of sentencing. So by an 8-2 decision, the full panel decided that Judge Sullivan can indeed scrutinize the Justice Department's decision to drop the criminal case against Flynn, allowing the case to continue. So score one for the good guys. Stay tuned. On a related note, the House Committee on Oversight and Reform announced Monday that they plan to subpoena Postmaster General Louis DeJoy over documents they say he's intentionally withholding from Congress. As you'll recall, when he testified before the committee just over a week ago, he was charged with turning over certain documents and given about a week to produce them. Well, he's not. The records pertain to controversial changes made to the post office that caused widespread delays and sparked suspicion that the Trump administration was trying to use the U.S. Postal Service to harm mail-in voting efforts. But given the other ruling, now under appeal, I wonder what effect a subpoena would have. Again, stay tuned. In other news that must not be normalized, the so-called president is still downplaying the COVID-19 pandemic that's already taken the lives of over 180,000 Americans with no end in sight. Instead of relying on trusted experts like our country's top infectious disease doctor, Anthony Fauci, whom Trump dismissed on Monday as, quote, someone he inherited, the orange one has brought in a new health advisor. Dr. Scott Atlas is a neuroradiologist, not an infectious disease expert, and he reportedly meets with Trump nearly every day. And we hear he's pushing the White House toward adopting a controversial herd immunity strategy to fight the pandemic. This is alarming public officials because this approach, which has been used by Sweden, involves protecting people in vulnerable groups such as the elderly while letting the virus spread to others at lower risk, resulting in so-called herd immunity to the virus. Public health experts warn that using the herd immunity approach could result in 2.13 million deaths in the United States before 65% of the population is affected and the country reaches herd immunity. Meanwhile, as not a doctor, Trump demanded schools open nationwide, declaring that kids are virtually immune from the disease. Coronavirus cases, hospitalizations, and deaths from COVID-19 have increased faster among children and teens than among the general population, according to data from the American Academy of Pediatrics measured from May 21st to August 20th. Meanwhile, the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus published 8 weeks' worth of state reports on the virus from the White House's task force. They revealed that while Trump was painting an optimistic picture of the pandemic in July and August, the information he was getting was increasingly dire. Opposite world indeed. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.
You're listening to The Nicole Sandler Show on the Progressive Voices Network and NicoleSandler.com.
And yay, I got it fixed. You know, sometimes it just takes a little extra troubleshooting. All right, well, let's not wait any longer because you know what time it is, don't ya?
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, yes, every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh. And today, well, if you're watching on a video feed, be it Facebook Live or Periscope or Twitch, you'll see we've got Jackson and Hammy as our emotional support animals for the day. There they are in the show page. And Laffy's got Hammy as her background. But wait a minute. We're not done yet. We got to get Laffy on the phone first. So, hello.
Yes. You.
Hello.
You've reached the How the White House Celebrated the End of the Republican Convention hotline.
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Press one if you think VP Pius McKissass and mother celebrated the end of the convention by really throwing caution to the wind. They went to bed without socks on. Press two if you think Melania celebrated by taking off her designer military dress and changing into her designer military shorty pajamas. Press 3 if you think Trump celebrated by pardoning Donnie Jr.'s sweaty face and erecting a statue of Kimberly Guilfoyle's mouth.
Oh, man. Yeah. There's something really frightening about that woman.
Yeah, no, she's nuts. I didn't watch the convention.
No.
But I saw clips.
Oh, I saw bits and pieces, and it was frightening.
Oh, boy. Yeah. From what I saw, it was crazy. I'm glad I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
All it does is upset me. And as you were saying when you opened the show with our little service puppies there, honest to God, I had the same little meltdown that you did. We talked about this. And I don't know what snapped, but something snapped in me where I went from, as I was saying to you, where the music of the, you know, anxiety in my head was in the background to the blaring foreground constantly. And something, I think, what was it that we were saying that Trump did that got to, when he was okay with the murder. When
oh
he was
my
okay
God,
with the
defending the murderer. Okay, so now I got my wallow sound working again.
Oh, yay.
So yesterday, he's, you know, talking to the press. So the clip I tried to play before is he's even more off the rails than normal for him. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, this.
Biden is using mafia talking points. The mob will leave you alone if you give them what you want. That's what it is. The mob will leave you alone, give them what you want, but it doesn't work that way, because once you give them, they keep taking.
Yeah, and you should know.
What happens?
I was just going to say that. I mean, that is such classic projection on his part.
Right? And then, so yesterday in his, you know, White House briefing, ego-boosting, you know, commandeered television time session, one of the reporters tried to ask him if he would, you know, what he has to say about the Kyle Rittenhouse, the 17-year-old murderer from Kenosha. And this happened.
Are you going to condemn the actions of vigilantes like Kyle Rittenhouse?
We're looking at all of it. That was an interesting situation. You saw the same tape as I saw. And he was trying to get away from them, I guess, it looks like.
And
he fell. And then they very violently attacked him.
Okay, can I just say, he didn't try to, they chased him because he had already murdered somebody. He killed someone in that parking lot. Then he walked away and got on the phone, and he's clearly heard saying, I just killed somebody. Then these people started chasing him because he murdered somebody.
Right. It's not like they just started running after this random guy with an AR-15, right?
Right.
He had done something to get their attention.
And Donald Trump, just lets that go. So, and there was more of it today. But then, I mean, he was so all over the place. I guess during What's News, I played the clip with his interview with Laura Ingraham when he said the people in dark shadows are doing this. And then, he told the story about, you know, on an airplane that there's first yesterday, he told the story that it was going to the Republican convention. There was this group of people in dark uniforms or something that were scaring people
in black
on a plane. And then today he doubled down on it, saying this.
Yeah, I could tell you that I could probably refer you to the person and they could do it. I'd like to ask that person if it was okay, but a person was on a plane.
A person was on a plane.
Said that there were about six people like that person.
Like that person? What does that mean?
And what happened is the entire plane filled up with the looters, the anarchists, the rioters, people that obviously were looking for trouble. And the person felt very uncomfortable in the plane. This would be a person you know.
Right.
So I will see whether or not I can get that person. I'll let them know, and I'll see whether or not I can get that person to speak to you. But this was a first-hand account of a plane going from Washington to wherever.
From Washington to wherever.
And I'll see if I can get that information for you.
So bottom line is, apparently, Franklin Graham had posted something about a similar story, and it was going to the convention. Well, there's a new website. I think what's his name? John Heilman has a piece of this called The Recount, and they put out this video. Trump yesterday talking about these, you know, black uniformed thugs on the plane. You know, it's like, remember snakes on a plane? Antifa on a plane! And then contrasting it to what he said today, I just have to play this for you because it's hysterical. All right, just watch this. Whoops. Ah, okay, this.
Plane.
Where's this?
I'll tell you sometime, but it's under investigation right now. But they came from a certain city, and this person was coming to the Republican National Convention.
This was yesterday. A first-hand account of a plane going from Washington to wherever. And I'll see if I can get that information for you.
So yesterday it was going to the Republican National Convention. And today it was going from Washington, D.C. to wherever.
Oh, is that because I couldn't hear the sound?
Oh, right. That's what it was. That he two different stories. It's like,
of course,
it's like at the convention, Ivanka told the story about her son building with Legos a model of the White House that Donald Trump keeps in the Oval Office to show foreign leaders. It's all bullshit.
They use the same story. Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy has the Legos in his office that I stole from something else he said another time or so. I don't know. By the way, why is it okay for the 17-year-old murderer to come in from out of state?
Yeah, good question.
And not these horrible people on a plane.
Yep. Yeah.
Don't exist.
Come on.
But yeah. It's okay for a murderer to do it. Just like I was telling you this. I'm trying to remember the story, but he complained about how the protesters were throwing bags of soup. Right? Isn't that terrible?
Bags of soup, because those
could hurt somebody. But paintballs from a gun and mace, that doesn't hurt anybody. And that's coming from his crowd.
Oh, and he laughed about the paintballs. Oh, they're firing paintballs. It's not bullets. Your guy killed two people and blew off the arm of a third. Those are real bullets. And guess what? Have you ever been hit by a paintball or by a marble fired out of a paintball gun?
Or by mace.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's okay if his guys do it and if they murder somebody, but it's not okay if protesters protest.
Right.
I can't even. Anyway.
I can't either.
You know, just really.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to let loose the birdies?
Yeah, let's let the birdies out. Okay. They're tired of sitting in the cage.
Let loose the birdies!
Welcome to my tweet fest.
So I know the Twitters are all a Twitter today because he's, you know, every time you think he's gone off the rails. Was he ever on the rails? He's become unhinged. He was never hinged, but he's more over the top than ever before. And I really worry that as we get closer and closer to November 3rd, he's going to get even crazier and crazier. And then
there's without a doubt. There's not even a question about that. That's going to happen. It's already happening. Oh, okay. So here's something.
Yeah.
That everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
The mini stroke thing.
Yeah.
Which not one news outlet reported it. It was a tweet by somebody and somebody else tweeted about it. And then it got to him. And so he got upset and denied that he was having any mini strokes in a tweet. And then his Dr. Sean P. Connolly, physician to the president, he said this. Let me widen it out. President Donald J. Trump had asked that I, Dr. Sean Connolly, physician to the president, who talks that way, address the recent public comments regarding his health. I can confirm that President Trump has not experienced nor been evaluated for a cerebrovascular accident, parentheses, stroke.
Bullshit.
Transient ischemic attack, mini stroke, mm-hmm. or any acute cardiovascular emergency.
Bullshit.
As have been incorrectly reported in the media. Mm. Quote, the president remains healthy, and I have no concerns about his ability to maintain the rigorous schedule ahead of him.
He's the healthiest man alive.
Ever. In the history of ever.
Of course.
As stated in my last report, I expect him to remain fit to execute the duties of the presidency, unquote. And so I said, first, why should we believe him or anyone connected to Trump? Because when you think back to his previous doctor who wrote the letter that he dictated to him, mm-hmm. That was full of shit, and then the doctor after that, Ronnie Jackson, who was running for office, lied about him. And then the other thing is that they're really jumping hard and fast after the stroke rumor started, and it's weird because
nobody's saying it. I mean, Michael Schmidt's new book. Michael Schmidt, reporter for the New York Times, who then is talking about this weird, out of the ordinary trip to Walter Reed Medical Center on a Saturday when there was nothing scheduled, and one of the new details from the book is that Mike Pence was put on alert to stand by because if the president had to undergo a procedure under anesthesia, he would have to be made in charge. And so that obviously starting rumors, but nobody at any credible news outlet suggested the stroke or mini stroke scenario until Trump himself said it out loud.
And also he's all upset about this rumor, but he doesn't mind pushing the Facebook conspiracy theories and those rumors and the bad people on the airplane or whatever it was. What was the other thing I was going to say? And also the funniest part. Well, here, so I read you that. So then, Caitlin Collins I got to move my thing here CNN. So I can see. Thank you, because I just not showing up. That's weird. It's not showing up on my... Okay. She said, has any legitimate outlet reported that Trump had a stroke? The White House doctor goes on the record saying he had not had a stroke, mini stroke, or any acute, blah, blah, blah. Dr. Connolly says Trump instructed him to do this.
Yes.
And then I said, here's an idea. Why don't they release some records of what happened back when he had that hospital visit? And then I started saying, and now I'm LOLing out loud here because my Twitter feed is filling with accounts tweeting about Trump's mini stroke tweets and the doctor's report, even though no news outlet ever reported one. So Team Trump just perpetuated the rumor that they're trying to squelch.
Yep.
It's hilarious to me.
Yep. It is. It's opposite world.
It's so stupid. Stupid. I mean, what a stupid way to handle it. If they wanted to calm our nerves about this or whatever it is, calm the rumors, tell us what happened when he went to the hospital and why.
Right.
Why, when you had supposedly part of a regular annual checkup, would you need to go under anesthesia? Because you don't.
You don't.
That's not done in a regular checkup.
And it wasn't a regular checkup because it was on a Saturday and it wasn't planned and it was an emergency thing. The thing is, this administration, who claims to be the most transparent ever, is the most secretive ever. They won't be honest with us about anything. And then this shit happens.
Right. I mean, all of it, there's a million ways they could have gotten rid of this quickly.
Yep.
And they didn't. They've only fed into it and perpetuated it and made it a trending topic. And I want us all to hashtag, Trump's strokes or something so that it doesn't go away for a long time. Because if he can start rumors, so can we.
Yep. Yep.
I'm fine with that. I have no problem. And plus, what was the video of him dragging his leg?
Oh, yeah. And I just deleted that, too. That was kind of frightening it was him walking somewhere along the tarmac, and you could see mm-hmm. his right leg, like, dragging. And then you look at his difficulty walking down ramps and things like that. There's something going on with him.
There was actually the dragging his leg was when he was visiting. He's doing one of his visits somewhere. He was indoors. Then when he was walking up some stairs the other day, he almost toppled over. He had a little moment.
Yes, I saw that. And then he tried to play it off like he was joking. He wasn't joking.
He wasn't joking. That happened. So there are a lot of things that people are picking up on and questioning, and that's where those rumors came from. His own body. They came from his own body. He can't hold a glass of water.
That's right.
And like you said, he can't go down a ramp.
Right. There is definitely something going on. I'm actually looking to see if I didn't delete this video. I have a file of used videos, kind of. I'm looking to see Trump. No, I must have.
I wish I had sent you the one from yesterday, whether you have it or not, where he wobbled on the stairs. But
no, I
saw
it.
That was a big wobble. He almost fell over.
He almost fell off. It looked like a raised platform.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Wouldn't that be fun to watch?
Who needs a service dog when you have that, right? Okay. On to the next thing. Oh, no, this is still the same topic.
Okay.
Hunter DK said, he's from Daily Coast, he said, gonna presume Trump is so angrily denying that he had a, quote, series of mini strokes because the mini part upsets his ego. And I said, fake news. I have the biggest, most spectacular strokes you can imagine.
Of course you do.
Spectacular.
You know,
spectacular.
You know, when I couldn't get my sound going, there was one other clip I wanted to play for you from that Laura Ingraham interview last night where she tried to save him. I'm sure you heard about this. When he compared the shooting of Jacob Blake in the back seven times to a golfer choking. And she tried to, this was gaslighting in full display. She said, you're not comparing the shooting in the back to a golfing. Oh, no, but. So he did. Yes, he did.
And it becomes a story for weeks.
St. Louis African-American police officer shot in the head and killed
Dorn.
Last night. He's now another African-American.
That's true.
Just killed yesterday.
That's true. Yeah.
That's true. That's terrible. True. But
killed. It's more dangerous to be a police officer today, do you not think, than it has been in
the police
a long time.
Are under siege because of things. They can do 10,000 great acts, which is what they do.
Oh, yeah.
And one bad apple or a choker.
A choker.
They choke.
Good word.
Shooting the guy in the back many times. I mean, couldn't you have done something different? Couldn't you have wrestled? You know, I mean.
Yeah.
In the meantime, he might have been going for a weapon. And,
no, he wasn't.
There's a whole big thing there.
A whole
but
big
they
thing.
Choke.
There.
Just
they
like
choke.
In a golf tournament. They miss a 3-foot.
You're not comparing it to golf because, of course, that's what the media.
I'm saying people choke.
People choke. Yeah.
And people are bad people. Yeah, both.
You're not comparing it to a golf tournament, golf game, because that's what the media is going to say. Oh, no, I'm not. But
it's like
people choke.
And what a word to use when you're applying it to a police person.
Choke. Right.
Choked.
Ugh.
Really wise. Real smart. Really
yeah.
Great.
Oh, and he
always
also,
thinking.
He also, you know how he keeps saying that he's done more for the African Americans than
pretty much other than Lincoln.
Well, now he's kind of taken Lincoln out of the equation.
Do anything for them. I've done more. And I said in the speech, some people said you shouldn't say it. It's too aggressive. I said, what's aggressive? I've done more than any president in the history of our country, except for maybe maybe Abraham Lincoln. The reason I say maybe is I'll explain that to you later. Okay?
Sorry, I need a laugh track. I'll explain it to you later. He says that a lot. So he's going to tell her about the Antifa on the plane and about how he's done but more than Lincoln. He'll tell her that later off the air because, you know, we don't need to burden the people with this information. Oh, my God.
He's completely out of his fucking mind. Okay.
Okay.
What's this? Oh, this is something. This is a little more on the serious side now because, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Kyle Chaney from, NBC or something. He said, news, the McGahn Appeals Court. Don McGahn, ex-lawyer of Trump. The appeals court panel says the House has no legal ability to enforce subpoenas because there is no law on the books allowing it. It may do so, but Congress must pass a law first. In other words, and then he goes on to say, this is an earth-shattering ruling that says the House essentially has no subpoena power.
Oversight power.
Facts
right.
No longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
It is in the Constitution. The House of Representatives has oversight powers, has oversight responsibilities, and the power of the subpoena. And this three-person, three-judge panel from the D.C. District Court of Appeals said that there's no mechanism to enforce a subpoena. Hell yeah, there is. It's called inherent contempt, and they can send out the sergeant-at-arms to go arrest those fucking people who disobey a subpoena.
Yeah, well, the court did say that. The court said it's up to you guys to use inherent contempt.
No, they said you have to pass legislation.
Oh, I thought they said,
nope,
you have that, but you have to courts pass, can't do anything.
They said you have to pass legislation. I had it in What's News. You have to pass legislation in order to be able to enforce. Let me find it again.
I already deleted mine. So I don't know.
Because this is killing me. Okay.
I know about the passing legislation, but I thought that was about going to court with it.
No. Here, the court affirmed that the court affirmed 2 weeks ago that Congress had standing to sue, meaning it had shown that the Trump administration's refusal to allow McGahn to testify harmed the House's longstanding right to compel testimony from government officials. They said they dismissed the House lawsuit seeking to force McGahn to comply with a congressional subpoena, saying that Congress has not passed a law expressly authorizing it to sue to enforce the subpoena.
Right, to sue. But inherent contempt, isn't that when they send out the
sergeant at arms to go arrest someone for not complying with the subpoena? But they're saying the House has to pass a law to expressly authorize it to enforce the subpoena, which is complete and utter
bullshit.
Yeah. So now, of course, they're threatening to subpoena.
Well, DeJoy, the postmaster general.
So he's going to laugh at it. He's
exactly.
It's going to be completely the knees are knocked out. What's the expression?
Toothless.
Toothless works.
Right. Yeah. And the thing is, you know, DeJoy, when he sat before the House it's the House Oversight Committee just last week, and they were saying, all right, well, by the end of the day on Friday, you must turn over these documents. And he was like, yeah, we'll see.
Right.
And he didn't. And he's refusing to. So now they're saying they're going to subpoena them. And you know what?
How?
Yeah. Right.
That's the thing. How? They're writing a lot of letters and they're angry, but they can't do anything anymore. So we're so fucked. Anyway, here's something that was upsetting to me because of what happened in a different election. Mm-hmm. The Republican who swift voted John Kerry to run... he's going to run a pro-Trump super PAC. Chris La Civita, will run super PAC seeking to hammer Biden on law and order as president seeks distraction. Guess who's behind it? Sheldon Adelson and Home Depot co-founder Marcus.
Of course
they
are.
Funding it.
Well, and Trump said something about that, too. This whole law and order bullshit. Listen to this. He says he lays it all out very clearly here.
Law and order has increased my poll numbers a lot. We've done a great job in COVID, but we don't get the credit. You know, we work through the governors.
Law and order has increased our poll numbers a lot. This is why he's fomenting violence. So he wants his people, his militia people, to go out and accost peaceful protesters, you know, go out there and take a long gun across state lines to for self-defense, you know, because you need to travel across state lines to defend yourself against people that you know might be there. When he plays this law and order game, this is good for his poll numbers. This is frightening. It's just frightening.
Really frightening. And then they're going to, on top of all that, counter whatever Biden can come up with swift voting the way they did with Kerry. They're going to say the opposite. They're going to take one of his, I don't want to say strong points, but something that he's known for.
Right. I wish I could come up with one off the top of my head, but
I can't. Yeah, whatever.
But that's what the swift voting was. They took something like with John Kerry. It was his military service where he served with honor, and they twisted it to turn it into a negative. So this, I guess, Joe Biden's good guy, compassionate, empathetic side, because he has that.
He said that to hammer Biden on law and order. So they're going to try to get him on that. I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to do it. And what worries me is not that it's, you know, obviously it's whatever they're going to say is the opposite of the truth, but it worked. It worked.
It worked on John Kerry.
Yeah. So, but now we know what swift voting is. Let's hope that Team Biden knows how to cope with this somehow, because it's going to be awful.
Come on, man.
Swift voting, gaslighting. These are the tools of the Trump administration.
So Daniel Dale summed it up.
Yeah.
He said, basically, much of Trump world appears to see extreme exaggeration as no lose. One, lots of people believe the lie. Two, if the lie is corrected, they can turn the correction into an example of media bias, accusing the correctors of being hatefully blind to some different point. So that's what they do, and it works. And the problem is, even if you're going, well, you know, not this time, everyone's more up on what he does, and we know how to correct it a little. But you add that to voter suppression, you add that to election interference, you add that to COVID and the inability to vote by mail properly. And then once the votes are in, let's say all the votes got in properly. Let's just say DeJoy handed everybody a mailbox and said, here's your own mailbox. Go ahead. Then what happens is, on election night, the people who voted in person, you're going to see the results. And then the people who voted by mail, you won't see the results. So then Trump is going to say, see, I won.
Yep.
I won.
Yep.
And then the people, we're going to say, no, but we have all these votes coming in. Those are fraudulent votes.
Yeah.
It's rigged.
Yeah.
So we have a real big problem on our hands the week of election. I'm not going to say election night, because it's going to last weeks.
Yes,
weeks,
it is. And
days,
that's the scary part, is because he's going to try to declare victory on the night of November 3rd, when all the votes will not be in, because you're allowed to have your mail-in ballot postmarked by midnight on November 3rd, apparently. And so most states, it's different in each state, but the states have their different criteria for when the deadline is for counting. But it is going to be a few days before the final, or a week or longer, before the final tally's done. And the thing is, this is not unprecedented, because I remember very clearly the 2000 election, because believe it or not, I was in Kazakhstan. I was over there adopting Allison, voted on November, whatever the election day was. I flew out November 18th to go over there. And I was in Kazakhstan until December 13th. That's the day that Al Gore conceded. And I remember it clearly, because we had to fly from Kazakhstan through Moscow to exit the embassy in Moscow and come back to the U.S. And I just wanted the Moscow newspaper saying, Gore resigned or whatever. And we missed it. We missed it, but just probably by moments, because we left at like 3 a.m. And I do have the International Financial Times or something from that day. But yeah, it went for over a month and a half before, they called the election, before Gore erroneously conceded. So, this could stretch out for a while, but Trump is going to declare victory.
Of course he is, no matter what happens.
No matter what happens.
So we were talking about how what Aaron Rupar says, basically black people boarded a plane, headed for D.C.
Antifa and on a plane!
And then he says, and one of Trump's friends felt uncomfortable. So what's bothering me about this as well is, the reporters who were asking him questions about it were indulging the conspiracy theory instead of asking him about how many people are still dying from COVID. That's where we have him.
Yeah.
That's the strongest argument against him that's working with the general public. And the reporters asking him questions are foregoing that topic because they have a new little conspiracy theory to track down. That's why I was mad. Not that they shouldn't ask him and put him on the spot, but they did this as if it were real.
Yep.
And they ignored what's really going on, where people are really dying in droves still. Yeah. So that pissed me off. I had to say that.
I hear you. Right. And that's the thing. There's so much shit out there. Mm-hmm. And the question is, do you ignore his mental incapacity as he, you know, rails that Joe Biden is demented? Do you ignore right. his tweets? Do you ignore, I mean, things we should ignore for, you know, any normal person, but he's the president of the United States. And I'm sorry, you can't ignore those things because he's out of his fucking gourd.
Yeah. But I guess while they're not ignoring them, they also need to not ignore the bigger problem, and right. that is that people are dying and he's doing nothing about it.
Yeah.
Pawn All the Things is a legal mind on okay. the Twitters.
All right.
When people who've spent years going to extreme lengths to circumvent the law as it applies to themselves and their friends shout, "Law and order."
Yeah.
It's important to realize that by order, they mean total submission, and by law, they mean uncritical catering to their every fascist whim. Let's not forget that. Let's just not forget that. Thank
no,
you.
Let's not. Let's not.
Just an important
and that's
tweet.
Why I keep this laugh track handy. Because you got you, because I you know I need to laugh at this stuff when he goes off. There's two reactions you can have. One is to lose your mind and pull your hair out of your head and say, "I can't believe this is happening," and the other is to say, "It's hysterical." And it, honestly, if it weren't a life and death situation, it would be really funny.
If it weren't, yeah.
If it weren't.
Ugh. So I have an LOL GOP tweet, but it's over this. NPR Politics tweeted, "Black Americans make up 27% of the Postal Service workforce.
Uh-huh.
Unions say the turmoil in the Postal Service could disrupt the agency's history of providing generations of Black Americans secure middle-class employment.
Mm-hmm.
And then LOL GOP said, "Trump's wrecking the post office is just a shameless version of what the GOP has wanted to do for decades. And that And that it's helping steal an election yeah. is a bonus."
Oh, yeah.
That's
absolutely.
Disturbing.
It is disturbing. But everything about every them is disturbing. All right. Yeah. You know what? I have something. You know, I always search each day for something funny to play at the beginning of the show. And they're usually politically related. But this one, I found something, has nothing to do with politics. And it turns out the two women who do this, I guess they're some like Christian duo and they do these Christian videos. And that's all well and good. Good for them. This song parody made me laugh out loud. And it's for you, Laffy. And it's Yay. For me. And it's for women of a certain age because, you know, we're not little kids anymore. And we can all relate. And I thought we could use a bit of a, you know, a palate cleanser because we're getting all okay. crazy and we all had a rough weekend. And so I'm going to play it. I'll play the video so people watching on the video streams can hear it, but I'm also going to play it separately for the audio listeners so Laffy, you can hear it because you need to be able to hear this song. The two women go by the moniker of Stowe Good. One of them, the first name is Stowe and the other one, the last name is Good, just in case you were wondering. Okay. Stowe Good. All right. And there's the setup. So, take it away, Stowe Good ladies, and here we go. Hopefully this will work. I think. Ooh. And you can sing along too.
Ooh. Each morning I wake up before I put on my makeup, I tweeze a little hair or two. Without batting an eyelash, I pluck and I prune my mustache. I tweeze a little hair or two. They're growing and growing at a radical pace, and I'm in trouble. I'm mowing and mowing like weeds on my face. A sea of stubble, they move from my legs to my chin. In this charming new age, I put on my flannel PJs and tweeze a little hair or four. The truth becomes clearer in front of my lighted mirror. I tweeze a couple hundred more. They're growing and growing. It's out of control. bedridden. I'll help keep your secret hidden. I'll tweeze a little hair for you. Together, together, we'll keep them at bay. It's all so taxing forever and ever. They won't go away. Have you tried waxing? It never gets better. And we say, oy vey, there's no relaxing for the rest of our plucking lives. So tell me, what have I missed? Electrolysis. I tried it, and that made me scream. Well, how about laser beams? Yeah, maybe, because threading's just weird. Yeah, right. Guess we'll live with a beard.
Anyway, made me laugh because I've got this one little hair right here. It's like an eyelash coming out of my chin. So, and in the chat, in the Facebook chat room, women are saying, I can relate. So not political at all, but it made me laugh. So I thought I would share it with you.
It's always cool. Let's see, I think I have one that might, is this a funny one? Well, it's an amusing one.
Yeah.
Chuck Colesto,
yeah,
I think he's a former candidate for Florida's third. Okay. He said Rand Paul has called to subpoena how do you say it? Do you say Antifa?
Antifa.
Antifa, plane records, hotel records, all travel records, and all funding. So Laura Bassett said, now would be a good time. Sell all your Antifa stock before the share price tumbles.
I get pitches from PR people to have guests on for interviews. And they were trying to pitch me someone who actually challenged both the head of Antifa and the head of the Proud Boys. And I wrote back, it's like, really? Who is the head of Antifa?
Yeah.
Please tell me. I must have emailed this person 3 times. Please tell me who is the head of Antifa. They never got back to me.
Of course they can't.
Because there isn't one.
They're idiots. Okay, serious time.
Okay.
Serious time.
No?
L.A. Sheriff's deputies fatally shoot black man stopped for riding a bicycle.
Yeah, is this not all over the news right now?
I have a feeling it will be eventually.
It will be. It just happened last night.
Yeah. The man dropped a bundle of clothes, and the deputies spotted a black handgun in the bundle, at which point they opened fire, and it was on the ground. The handgun was on the ground,
and they
felt it necessary to shoot him. He was riding a bicycle wrong.
By the way, Congresswoman Karen Bass tweeted out about the story. Again, this happened in L.A. She's a congresswoman from the Culver City area. What bike violation is so severe that they needed to stop Dijon Kizzy? That's his name. What bike violation is so severe that they needed to chase him? What bike violation is so severe that they needed to shoot him as many times as they did? If he dropped a weapon, why was he then shot? It's shooting. It's shootings like this one, like the one that took the life of Andres Guardaro, and like the ones that have taken the lives of so many others that have resulted in Angelenos organizing a sheriff civilian oversight commission with subpoena power. The people are fed up. Enough.
Exactly. It's like when Blake had a knife that was on the floor of his car.
Yeah.
He told them that he had it. He wasn't holding it. He'd have to, it would take a while to even grab it. It's on the floor.
He told them he had it. It was on the floor of his car, and that's what they're using as an excuse for shooting
exactly,
him.
Exactly. So here we go again, everybody. You know, it's
here we
just,
go again.
I give up. Yeah, I give up.
All right.
Are we done? Because I had one more, which doesn't matter.
Go quickly.
Okay, remember, Zach Bornstein, remember when they dismantled the post office last week and we got mad, but they refused to put it back? So now that that's just how it is, and fascism is a fast-boiling pot? That's all.
Oh, that's all.
In other words, everything is the way it is, and nothing's done about it, so here we are.
Oh, but, you know, you can't forget the words of wisdom from the idiot. Where is it? Here.
What you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
And with those immortal words, we are done. What you're hearing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
I wish he wasn't happening.
You and me both. All right. Got a laugh. Find her on the Twitters here every Tuesday. See you tomorrow. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.